Hi, my name's Jim Smith.
Hi, I'm George Pitts.
And you're listening to Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse Highlights Podcast, brought to you in conjunction with Podomatic,
iTunes,
and WCRFM.com. For more details on me and George, go to myspace.com/Jim and George. Anything on the television when it's like I'll become beguiled and fascinated with the moving image.
Do you know what? I mean, you've just struck on something there. Like, if it's in the afternoon or in the morning, you're a bit temperamental with it. Oh, that's rubbish. Just turn over.
Yeah.
But how come when it's of a night time, you know, you'll sit back and you'll just take it in?
Yeah, you just and want more and won't be able to say, well, I'll record it and watch it tomorrow because I'm so deeply fascinated with it now. I'm completely captivated. But I mean, even like, Kung Fu films, you know, will completely captivate me. And like stupid programs that they have on MTV. And I must say to you, I thought it was quite funny. I was watching, what's the stupid program they do on MTV where they fix cars up?
Pimp My Ride.
Right, okay. Yeah. So Westwood's on that.
Oh, we've got the British one there, Pimp My Ride UK.
Yeah, the American one absolutely destroys it because the American people, American teens, American youth, you know that massive enthusiasm they got when they give them a car and they're in absolute rapture and they really, really perform. Yeah. And obviously it's done for camera, but geez, they get a nice car out of it, so they should be expected to perform a little
it's
bit.
True,
and they try to translate to a British market and they've got Westwood to front it, Tim Westwood.
Westwood.
To front it. And I'm watching it and it is a bit rubbish, you know, but it's, you know, that time of night I will watch Kung Fu films poorly overdubbed into English that make no sense with the most ridiculous wild work, and I'll be just completely captivated with it. And so we watched that, and the parents really loved it. She said, do you know, just once, talking about Westwood, she said, just once I'd like to hear him talk properly.
Yeah.
Just one time I'd like him to go, you know, to have like a shot of him filmed on somebody's camera on YouTube of Westwood sat by the camera being very, very middle class. So we're all ready to go, boys. Everything okay? We're all in place. Okay. Just allow me to get into character. Boy, Westwood, you fix up your car. Boy! Just once I'd like to
Do you know? Do you know he's from a very well-to-do family? His vicar's son or something. His father was a vicar, and he had a public school by education, and then it's not as if he's grew up in a ghetto. It's not as if, you know, he's lived, you know, the life of grime in the suburbs of London. I mean, where does he come from? He comes from quite a posh area, Surrey. So where did he get this whole Westwood persona from?
Listen, you can't. His pimp hand is way strong. His pimp credentials, his street credentials are all fully paid up.
I think
your boy got shot six times.
Because you know, Ali G based a lot of his Baron Sacha Cohen based a lot of his Ali G act on Westwood.
Yeah,
and I'm waiting for the day where Tim Westwood puts his hands up and goes, oh, you know. I've had a good run for my money here. You know, I'm not really like that. You know, I don't really talk like that. What up, brother? You know, peace up. I mean, I remember listening to his. I mean, his
boom,
show
going off big style.
Because his show on a Friday night is quite comical. I remember I was in a pal's car and he was playing a 50 Cent track. And at the start of the track, he started going G-Unit. Like, I thought, oh, come on now, come on.
Well, you know when you hear him talking. How he talks. No, I think Westwood's great. You know, I think, you know, really entertaining. And you know, as I say, street credentials all fully paid up.
Was he actually shot six times?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was shot six times
with an air rifle.
Possibly, who knows? But you know, the other thing to bear in mind, you know, because it seems unlikely that that is not a part he's playing. But when you think about next time you see him, and when you think about his upbringing and his background and his income. The other thing to bear in mind is that man is 52 years of age.
52?
Anyway, so I'm telling you, Sci-Fi Channel, and as I've said to you before, after you get past midnight, the Sci-Fi Channel is no longer the Sci-Fi Channel, and it sort of becomes the you get what you're given channel. And they just put anything on. And they put this film on, right?
These are the armies of the night.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
The Furies. The Boppers. The Hi-Hats. The Lizzies. The Turnbull ACs. The Gramercy Riffs.
Riffs! Yeah!
And these are the Warriors.
We know about the Warriors. They're a heavy outfit.
They're from Coney Island.
Warriors? You guys are the big dudes, huh?
Now, they're in the Bronx.
We're going back.
27 miles behind enemy lines.
It's the only choice we got.
Between them and safety stand 20,000 cops and 100,000 sworn enemies.
I want them all. I want all the Warriors.
They've got one way out. They've got one chance. They've got one night. The Warriors.
Huh? Come on.
That brings back some childhood memories.
Now, I remember seeing that film as a kid.
Yeah.
Like so many of these films, when you go back and reevaluate them as an adult, they're rubbish. But you know what? That's a really, really good film.
Well, funny enough, they re-released it on DVD a few years ago, and I went out and bought it. And I remember watching it myself, thinking, God, you know, it's still a great film.
Oh, it's awesome.
Still a great film because quite often, like you said, you're watching back and you're a bit embarrassed.
Yeah.
God, I remember being like 12, 13 years old, thinking this was the most important film ever made. You know, what was I thinking? It's a load of old trash. But no, it truly is a great film, The Warriors.
Well, they're remaking it. It's been
No. Oh, I wish Shanna said that.
I know, I'm sorry. They're remaking it. They've changed the storyline. And this, like all really great films,
yeah.
There really is no story. It's just about this, all the gangs that live in New York. And there are several of them. I do have a list here of all the gangs. And I will run them down for you. I'll do all the gangs from New York at the time of The Warriors. But did you know some of the cinematography in it?
Yeah.
Is that especially at the start, you know, when they're showing that he's sort of introducing you to Coney Island
and the train, introducing you to,
that's it, the wheel.
The big Coney Island wheel. It's iconic, that wheel is, isn't it?
And then he sort of wanders into different conversations with different characters and he just introduces you. And this whole thing, this whole device takes about 4 minutes. But it's very Michael Mann. It's very beautiful.
It's beautifully shot at night.
Yeah.
You know, because Michael Mann, he uses a lot of night-type images for his films, doesn't he?
However, some of the authenticity, I think they were stretching the credibility with some of the gangs. I don't know, if you've not seen this film, sorry. But, you know, it is... I've got to mention the punks. Now the punks were the ones, you know, they all wore dungarees.
Yeah,
and
I remember.
They were like
farmers,
and one of them was on roller skates.
That's it, the punks.
Right?
Yeah,
they were the punks, right?
Yeah.
Now I would think if you was going to be in a gang,
yeah.
Now if you and I was going to be in a gang, or was going to set up a gang, but let's say you don't get to set them up. Let's say that you have to sort of join existing gangs.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to be in the, you know, we wear dungarees gang. But where I certainly don't want to be is in the Hi-Hats.
The Hi-Hats.
Now, I don't remember, the Hi-Hats all wore top hats, right? Red shirts, red long sleeve shirts,
yeah.
Right, with braces, yeah. And then white faces like
Yeah, they were like clowns.
Can you imagine?
Like those French mime artists.
That's it, like Marcel Marceau. Yeah. Can you imagine though, when you go for your induction, like your initial sort of initiation into the Hi-Hats, and they go, and there's your outfit, and we all like to paint our faces white. You go like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought it was a street gang. Oh, we're a street gang, right enough.
You would be a bit like, well, come on, it's hardly fear-inducing, is it? No, you'd be surprised.
You don't think people might think we're a bit, well, gay, do you?
Because it's worth mentioning, within the world of the Warriors, every gang's got their own identity. Every gang's got their own uniform.
For instance, the Baseball Furies never speak, wear baseball gear similar to that of the New York Yankees and carry baseball bats, and they have their faces painted. It's sort of Not like a clown, sort of in the style of Kiss.
More, yeah, like Warrior Paint, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
I tell you what, I've come to think of, yeah, the baseball fews don't actually talk within the film, do they?
No.
And to be honest, I'd say they were probably one of the most frightening gangs.
Then there's the Lizzies. All female gang is waiting at Union Station when Vermin, Cochise and Rembrandt arrived. And they're all girls, and they turn out to be a honey trap.
Yeah, the Lizzies.
God damn it, these bitches are packing.
I tell you what, the Lizzies, they got some big hair, haven't they?
Here's a news flash for all you boppers. The Turnbull ACs missed their chance, so the opportunity's still there for a big hit. More news later.
All right, so do you want the whole list of all the gangs?
It's worth mentioning the voice, the sexy voice throughout the film. You never see a face. You know, the DJ.
Lynn Thigpen.
Is that her name, Lynn Thigpen?
That's the actress's name.
Because in the film, The Warriors...
You just see a mouth.
Yeah, The Warriors are trying to get back from New York because they've been set up for a murder they didn't commit. So now every gang within New York is after The Warriors. But there's a voice, the woman, the sexy woman. You only see her mouth. And she kind of... All the gangs are listening to radios, aren't they? And she kind of fills in the gangs and where The Warriors are going to be next.
Well, the days before mobile phones, if you can remember.
It's true, isn't it? Yeah,
children.
Yeah. It's like a pirate radio station within the film, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And there's that classic scene where she dedicates one of the tracks to The Warriors and it's Nowhere to Run to, Baby.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, and all the gangs are walking down the road with the ghetto blasters on the shoulders and stuff. How cool is that?
Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse.
WCRFM. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Every single gang, I have the list in front of me, every single gang that was in The Warriors. And you do have to imagine...
A lot of gangs.
There's a lot of gangs, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, one was weirder than the next.
Yeah.
And you do have to wonder, like, whether the tourist board in New York City went, man, no one's ever going to come.
Yeah, true.
It seems like the whole place is a zoo. Just seems like every, like, male less than 30 years old is a mental case.
We've got a city full of wrong uns and mental heads.
We've got a gang devoted just to mimes. But then if you had to be attacked,
yeah,
you know, you'd want the hi-hats to attack you.
I think
you
can take the hi-hats pretty easy.
Just all of them just all stuck in a box.
I mean, what are that gang? Is it the turnstile ACs?
The Turnbull ACs.
They're all massive with skinheads.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like cannonballs.
No, the worst ones are the riffs. Yeah.
The riffs.
Riffs.
Oh, yeah, because they're all
doing... Yeah, right!
And because they're all doing kung fu, the riffs, yeah, aren't they?
Okay, you ready? Here we go. Every single gang that appeared in the film The Warriors, the Alley Cats, the Amsterdam All-Stars, the Baseball Furies, the Black Hands, the Blackjacks, the Big Trains, the Boppers, the Boyle Avenue Runners, the Charlemagnes, the Colt 45s, the Dealers, the Delaney Rovers, the Dingoes, the E Street Shufflers, the Easy Aces, the Electric Eliminators, the 8th Avenue Apaches, the Fastballs, the 5th Street Bombers, the Fillmores, the Fire Tasters, the Five Points, the Gerards, the Gladiators, the Gohan, the Gun Hill Dancers, the Gramacie Riffs, the Hi-Hats, the High Rollers, the Homeboys, the Hoplites, the Howitzers, the Hucks, the Hurricanes, the Imps, the Jesters, the Jones Street Boys, the Judas Bunch, the Jupiters, the Knockdowns, the Knuckles, the Lizzies, the Locos, the Magicians, the Meat Packers, ladies and gentlemen, the Moonrunners, the Napoleons, the Nickel Stakes, the Night Riders, the Ninth Avenue Razors, the Orphans, the Panzers, the Phillies, the Plainsmen, the Punks, the Queensbridge Mutilators, the Real Boys, the Red Hook Shooters, the Roadmasters, the Rogues, the Romans, the Runaways, the Saracens, the Saratogas, the Savage Huns, the Shanghai Sultans, the Southern Cross, the Speedwagons, the Steve Doors, the Stilettos, the Stonebreakers, the Terriers, the Turks, the Turnbull ACs, the Van Coulter Rangers, the Warriors, the Whispers, the Xylophones, the Xenophones, the Yo-Yos, the Youngbloods, the Zodiacs, and the Zulus.
We've got our own Zulus in Birmingham, haven't we?
How hard have you got to be trying? Oh, just put Xylophones in.
We're the Xylophones.
How struggling have you got to be for a gang name? Yeah, Xylophones. It'll be fine.
That will strike fear into the heart of the enemy.
How late have you got to sit up drinking, trying to find a name for your band, for your group, for your gang, to think, yeah, Xylophones, that'll work, that'll be fine.
I've got to say, The boppers. The boppers are beautifully turned out. Pink waistcoats, black hats, all black shirts, immaculate white trousers. Now, I wouldn't have thought that would be the most, you know, I wouldn't have thought that would have been the most practical gear for fighting in pristine white chinos.
Yeah,
you know,
but come
right?
on. It's not like it's a top hat.
Top hat. Well, top hat's good for stashing weapons underneath, I suppose. Yeah.
Not when you're trapped in a glass box.
Well, what about that gang?
Not when you're fighting against really windy weather.
What about that gang, the Orphans? They've all got them grubby vests on.
Yeah,
they're horrible tramps, the Orphans are, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all a bit rubbish, the Orphans, aren't they?
Yeah.
Do you want a bit of... do you want some audio from the film?
Suckers!
Yeah.
I say the future is ours! If you... can count. Now look what we have here before. We've got the Saracen sitting next to the Jones Street boy. We've got the Moon Runners right by the Van Cortlandt Ranger. Nobody is wasting nobody. That is a miracle. And miracles is the way things ought to be. You're standing right now with 9 delegates from 100 gangs. And there's over 100 more. That's 20,000 hardcore members. 40,000 counting affiliates. And 20,000 more not organized, but ready to fight. 60,000 soldiers. Yeah. Now there ain't but 20,000 police in the whole town. Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig
it? Damn it, George, I can dig it.
Can you dig it?
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 Every Friday evening at 7, join me, Matthew Revel, for the Wolverhampton Politics Show. Each week, along with my studio guests, I take a look at what Wolverhampton City Council are doing with our tax money, debate the ideas behind politics, and discuss stories in the national news from a Wolverhampton perspective. The show's also your chance to put questions to local politicians and to get your stories heard. Email politics at wcrfm.com and we'll choose interviews and stories that you suggest. So if you're wondering just what your local councillor is for, or you want to hear opinions that you won't find anywhere else on the radio, tune in Friday night 7 till 8 here on 101.8 WCRFM.
Can you dig it?
Unmistakably jazz. And there's a lot more of that on Milestones and All That Jazz with Mike Hardacre. Every Monday, 9 o'clock through to 11, here on WCRFM 101.8, the voice of Wolverhampton.
Can you dig it?
That's
quite frightening, though, isn't it?
How menacing is that?
But that character there, Luther, Luther's the one who sets the warriors up for murdering Cyrus. Cyrus is your man who goes, God, you dig it. But there's a bit at the end where Luther gets lynched by the Riffs.
Can you dig it?
There's a bit at the end where Luther gets lynched by the Riffs, and he does this real squirming, begging, horrible kind of like squealing, snivelling, no, it's not me. And he goes, no, it was not me. It was them, the warriors. And he's just, oh, God, he's just like watching a rat, you know what I mean? Begging for its life. And all the Riffs start going, whoa, 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 giving him a good
Riffs,
kick in.
Right.
You wouldn't want to mess with the Riffs, would you?
It's enough of that nonsense, George. Give us something from your side of the desk.
Okay. I've got this.
Did we do the... Oh, we did, yeah.
I got this from the Metro online. Britain...
Oh, I like the Metro.
Beautiful papers.
The Metro's somewhat like... It's almost a newspaper. It's like a newspaper sort of in its adolescent years.
Well, it is...
Like, you know, like Looking Magazine was almost a magazine.
Well, the thing I love about Metro is that it is a newspaper. It's full of news because it hasn't got your page free. It hasn't got loads of trashy, you know, Dear Deirdre type things. If you are looking for an intelligent read, the Metro is your best value. Free as well.
The letters page is a winner.
Because the letters page is quite witty, isn't it, and quite funny. You know, it's not stupid. It's not full of stupid stuff.
But damn it, it's the news that you enjoy.
Yep, the news.
Okay.
All right, and this is from the Metro. Britain is one of three gored by raging bull. A third Briton has been hurt at this year's Papalona Bull Festival in a bloody run, which left two men fighting for their lives. The 21-year-old was taken to hospital after being gored in his back. He was one of 11 people treated by paramedics after a 90-stone bull turned yesterday's morning run into probably...
How heavy?
A 90-stone bull.
Obese bull shocker!
Bull on benefits, 90-stone... turned yesterday's morning run into probably the most dangerous so far this year. And it says here, two Spanish men aged 16 and 56 are in serious condition in hospital after being gored in the chest and neck by the same beast, which has become separated from the pack. Shocking TV footage showed the second man being thrown in the air and charged repeatedly as onlookers desperately tried to fight the animal off. I tell you what, I wouldn't fancy trying to fight off a 90-stone bull.
All them sort of running the balls things, yeah. That's just really stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Jeff, you do that and you get hurt and you have to be taken away by an ambulance,
yeah.
You should be given a bill afterwards.
It should be shot.
Because you're just stupid. It's a stupid thing to do. It's a bull. You know, somebody was going to get hurt,
yeah,
and you jumped over the fence. You're an idiot.
Well, see,
George,
yeah,
right? In my regime, right, all them bungee jumping people, skydiving people who get hurt being stupid, motor racing people and all that, that would be outlawed.
Outlawed.
I'm sick of paying for it. What do you say, Cyrus?
Can you dig it?
I think Cyrus agrees.
Definitely Cyrus and the Gramercy Riffs on my side.
So the guy who played Cyrus was a guy in the because like the Warriors was literally a cast of unknowns. None of them have really gone on to do anything, you know, major work apart from James Remar, who Jim tells me pops up in a show called Dexter.
He's Harry in Dexter.
It's about a serial killer. Anyway, so like it was a cast of unknowns, but the guy who plays Cyrus, Roger Hill, I was quite surprised he never went on to forge a career in commentating or you know that ringside announcement thing they're doing boxing. And in the right corner we have Bomber Harry Sky. Yeah, because he's got the voice for the job, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse. WCRFM.
Brain scans for hoodies in gangs. Teenage gang members will have their brains scanned in an experiment to find out why they are so violent. Scientists from University College London and charity Kids Company will use a mobile laboratory to test hoodies on London streets in attempt...
That's a joke. Surely that's a joke.
Well, I thought that. It all sounds a bit don't know, some Clockwork Orange to me.
Okay.
Yeah. In an attempt to prove their brains have been scarred by years of abuse and neglect, or maybe they're just bored. The research on...
we've got the funding and we're going to use it.
The research on teenagers aged 13 to 17 could revolutionise the way violent youngsters are treated by authorities and help provide ways to integrate them back into society. Most of those helped by Kids Company are homeless and many have been forced into drug running, gangs or prostitution. I tell you what, if they was forced into gangs, if they was forced to be a member of the Hi-Hats, I mean, that could be quite a, that could be quite physically scarring, couldn't it? I don't want to dress like that. You've got to. In one experiment, researchers will use electrodes to measure brain activity while showing the child a picture of an angry face. The brains of those who have been abused are expected to show increased activity in the prefrontal cortex, the area associated with inhibition, which becomes more active when people...
Ah, see, I told you, it's the prefrontal cortex.
Yeah, when people are trying
to... Remember when them shopping centres was trying to outlaw hoodies?
Yeah.
And we said, it's not the it's not the item of clothing that leads to criminal behaviour.
It's the prefrontal...
It's your prefrontal cortex.
I remember you saying the exact same thing. Well, have you ever seen Stanley Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange?
Yeah, I wasn't that impressed, actually.
Well, neither am I, but I suppose when it was originally released...
Not about nothing, well,
it was banned for being too violent. It was the first film to ever really have copycat violence. And when it was released in 1972, I suppose it was quite shocking because there's scenes of rape and violence and torture.
Yeah, I know, but they're not very great. Yeah. Yeah, there are scenes of rape and violence, but, I mean, there is nothing there disturbing.
No, but what I was getting to... There's a part in the film.
It's not done well enough.
Well, the lead character in the film, a guy named Alex, is chosen by the government because he's sentenced to 15 years for murder or something, and he's chosen for an experiment. And they hook him up to electrodes and clamp his eyelids open and show him violent images.
Yeah,
which sounds very similar to this brain scan thing. They're going to show these hoodies violent images to gauge their reactions. Horrible nightmare future.
Oh, my God, and Stanley Kubrick saw it all coming.
And, you know, he banned his own film. It was only after Kubrick passed away that they released Clockwork Orange because he was so disgusted at the copycat violence from the film he'd made.
What copycat violence?
Because around the time of... In Clockwork Orange...
Idiots going around with eyeliner on one eye and a bowler hat.
Well, they all...
No, nobody did that. Nobody did that. It wasn't copycat violence.
No, there was a gang that did it. Several youth members or whatever around the time...
Oh, when
dressed the same and started attacking people.
Well, whilst researching the film, Warriors, and... Listen, if you're still listening this time of night, you've really nothing better to do on a Sunday night. Might I recommend www.warriormovie.co.uk, where they'll actually sell you the replica vest.
Beautiful.
The replica leather waistcoat.
Ah, it is a cool...
George, you know, next week, I'll be sitting here wearing mine for you.
With the Warriors on the back. Now, the Warriors, definitely, they're so cool, those leather waistcoats, aren't they?
Nothing else on. Middle of the night, winter in New York. Just your red leather waist.
Bare-chested.
Okay, that's it, I'm afraid. That's all we've got time for today on the Technicolor Radio Clubhouse. You've been listening to Jim and George's Technicolor Radio Clubhouse Highlights Podcast, and we sincerely hope you enjoyed it, and you must have done, because if you can hear my voice now, that means you've listened to every last second. So why don't you do us a favour, do yourselves a favour, hit that subscribe button and hit it right now. We'd like to thank everybody at Streetside for providing us with the music, along with the marvellous Mr. Rick Dougal. But as you well know, if you listened to the show before, there's only time left to say. His name was Robert Paulson. His name was Robert Paulson. My name was Jim Smith.
My name was Georgie Pitt.
George, your battle with the guards was quite extraordinary, and I was going to ask you to join us.
Hail to the king, baby. Hail to the king.
Screwface, he give me a death a thousand times worse than you.
The whole darn thing was brought to you in conjunction with our very good friends over at Big Kahuna Burger,
Podomatic,
and WCRFM.com.
Go that way, you short-sighted scrap pile. You'll be malfunctioning within a day.
So until next time, people, you stay classy.